The government is calling it the biggest settlement ever for mortgage discrimination. I'm David Brancaccio. The Department of Justice says City National Bank will pay $31 million to address discrimination in its lending. The government says City National avoided lending in communities of color in the Los Angeles area where the bank is based. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer is following this settlement.
Yeah, David, City National is accused of redlining, and that is not providing credit to people in mostly Black and Hispanic neighborhoods. GOJ says the bank did this from 2017 through at least 2020, only opening one branch in those neighborhoods, not staffing it with anyone dedicated to making mortgage loans. And the Justice Department complaint also says during this time, other banks got more than six times as many loan applications in Black and Hispanic neighborhoods in the LA area.
So City pays a fine. What about its future behavior, Nancy?
DOJ says City National has agreed to invest more than $29 million in a loan subsidy fund for residents of majority Black and Hispanic neighborhoods in L.A. County, plus open a new branch in one of those neighborhoods, and it has to do a study of the need for financial services in those neighborhoods.
And City National is part of the Royal Bank of Canada, and it's noted for its many banking relationships with Hollywood figures. What's the bank's view in this case?
The bank says it disagrees with the Justice Department's allegations, but supports the DOJ's efforts to, quote, ensure equal access to credit for all consumers, regardless of race.
And all this rain in California is helping with the drought there, but there's a lot of work to do. The level of the state's second largest reservoir, Oroville, is now 13% higher than it was going into Christmas, but it's still 15% below full. And the U.S. Drought Monitor says most of California remains in a state of extreme or severe drought. There are now calls to rethink how water gets stored there. Here's Marketplace's Lily Jamali.
The reality of climate change is now on display here, not just during peak fire season, but year-round. The recent storms are the latest example of what scientists are calling weather whiplash. Climate expert Dustin Mulvaney teaches at San Jose State University.
We need to be preparing for the next flood during the drought, and we need to be preparing for the next drought during this big rainy sequence, because we'll forget otherwise.
Here in Southern California, the LA River is looking like an actual river, its concrete banks notwithstanding, and not a trickle, as it so often does. But this region's waterways are designed to take much of the rainwater out to sea to limit flooding. Various efforts to redesign those systems to conserve water are already underway. Matt Horton of the Milken Institute says doing so throughout the state is critical.
What we really need is, you know, a 21st century water project that brings all this together in a more vital, accelerated timeline.
Horton says more predictable and long-term sources of funding are essential. As it stands now, government officials say building the infrastructure to fully capture stormwater in California will take decades. In Los Angeles, I'm Lily Jamali for Marketplace.
The International Monetary Fund says millions of people in low-income countries face extreme hunger as interest rates go up, making it hard for the countries to pay down their international loans. One country which has already defaulted is Sri Lanka, where there's also a political crisis. The BBC's Ben Chu filed this from Sri Lanka's capital, Colombo.
6 months ago in Sri Lanka, amid sovereign debt default and economic chaos, there was a revolution. A new president has since been installed. An International Monetary Fund bailout has been agreed. But half a year on, are the lives of ordinary Sri Lankans actually any better? Is a new day dawning for the country's agricultural sector, on which a quarter of the population depends? Sri Lankan tea pickers earn a day rate of around 1,000 rupees, a little less than $3. And though inflation in the country has eased slightly since last year, food prices in Sri Lanka last month were still 65% higher than a year earlier.
Rice, sugar, and everything else is expensive. Even bus fares are expensive. Everything is a problem now. I can't say we have enough food. I'm afraid for my child's future.
More than 8 million people, more than a third of Sri Lanka's population, are today estimated to be food insecure by the United Nations. The fuel queues that snaked around this country 6 months ago have gone, thanks to a digital rationing system. Tourists are returning. A different world from the capital Colombo can be found a two-hour drive south down the coast. 1 million people in Sri Lanka are estimated to be reliant on fishing for their living. The cost of boat fuel for these fisher folk in Berawala is still four times higher than before the crisis struck last year, making each trip into an economic gamble. Places like this feel like the sharp end of Sri Lanka's economic crisis at the moment. It's clear that in some parts of the country, life has got somewhat better in recent months. But in places like this, it's really just as painful as it was before the fall of the government.
Ben Chu reporting there for our partners at the BBC. And Apple's CEO won't have to bring peanut butter sandwiches from home to scrimp. But there is news. Tim Cook is taking a 40% pay cut for this year. In a government filing, Apple lists Cook's 2023 compensation target now as $49 million. Apple indicates this came after shareholder feedback, where there have been sustained complaints about his pay and Cook's own recommendation about this. It's also true that Apple made just under $100 billion in profit in its 2022 accounting year, the most net income ever. Our digital producer is Jarrett Dang. Our engineers are Jessen Dueler and Nick Esposito. I'm David Brancaccio, the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.